Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hoard, and this is the Bengals Booth Podcast, the Who Ya Got edition. Dave Lapham joins me to predict who the Bengals are going to take in the first round of the NFL draft on Thursday night. Since we've been calling games together, Lap's track record for predicting the Bengals' first round pick is nearly perfect. In 2012, everybody seemed to think they would take offensive guard David DeCastro. Lap said that it would be Wisconsin guard Kevin Zeitler. And the Bengals actually traded down a few spots and got an extra third-round pick in order to take Zeitler. The next year, 2013, when the experts seemed to think that safety Matt Elam would be the choice, Lap correctly said it would be tight end Tyler Eifert. In fact, over the last 6 years, the only time that Lap didn't nail it was 2016, when he said it would be speedy wide receiver Will Fuller, and in that case, the pick was no longer on the board. The Texans took Fuller four spots ahead of Cincinnati, and Lap did predict that if Fuller was gone, that cornerback Will Jackson out of Houston would be a strong possibility, and of course, he turned out to be the pick. So, Lap's track record is uncanny, and his pick is coming up. For what it's worth, I'll give you my prediction as well, and we'll do some additional picking too. First, here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. It's the greatest invention since the backspace key on your computer. One of the challenges of being a play-by-play announcer is that you get one chance to get it right. There's no eraser, there's no whiteout, there's no mulligan. But when you are writing something, that backspace key makes mistakes magically disappear. Now time for my second draft preview with broadcast partner Dave Lapham. All right, Lap, time to make our picks, and we're going to do it in three categories on this podcast. First, who we think the Bengals are going to select 21st overall on Thursday night. Secondly, who we would pick if we were making the selection for them. And then third, kind of a fun one, a best case scenario, a guy that we don't think is going to be there at number 21, but maybe somehow he slides all the way down. And if so, that's the guy we want. So let's start with who we think the Bengals are going to take with their first pick in this year's draft. You're on the clock, Dave Lapham.
I think that all things being equal, without a slide, you know, as such, at any position, at tackle or safety or wherever, I think that they will take a center. You know, I think that they did a great job of getting the tackle and not losing any draft currency in so doing and putting themselves in position. And when you look at it, Dan, how many years can you say that a real need can be addressed with multiple guys? And I think that there are multiple guys. There's three centers that everybody's talking about: Billy Price, Frank Ragnow, and James Daniels. How many times can you say, you know, we have multiple guys that could fill that need in the same draft? And the good news is all of these guys come from the Big Ten. Two come from Billy Price from Ohio State, Daniels from Iowa. Big, physical, rough conference. Ragnow with Arkansas, SEC, doesn't get any better than that, particularly with linemen. I remember doing college football, and I'd always marvel at the SEC having, you know, other conferences may have a prospect or two in their offensive line or and defensive line. The SEC, every team had multiple prospects, offensive and defensive line. So, you know, to have centers that played in more pro-style offenses rather than spread stuff and centers that have played both shotgun and quarterback under center. You know, people say, well, you know, the quarterback really isn't taking any snaps from center. It's just as important that the center be able to have given snaps to a quarterback in college, you know, and these guys check all those boxes. All these guys do because of where they played. So the Bengals are very fortunate that, you know, a need that they have can be addressed in so many ways. And that's just the top three prospects. There are other guys that have played tackle in college that, you know, might project to center, et cetera, et cetera. But they're very fortunate. So in my mindset would be, don't complicate it. Stay with the plan. You know, go take the center. And, you know, I think that they'd be happy. I think that it's almost a toss-up between Billy Price and Frank Ragnow. You know, it's both – when I do research, you know, deep dive into the center position, looking at tape of the guys and then talking to people I can trust around the league, I get it's very, very close. But some people have Frank Ragnow ahead by a substantial margin of Billy Price. I think they might go Frank Ragnow, and I would. You know, in my evaluation of tape, I would go with Frank Ragnow just a little bit over Billy Price, and I'll give you reasons why later on. But that's to sum it up. I would not be offended whatsoever if Billy Price is the guy they take, but I lean in a little bit more toward Frank Ragnow, and I'll explain in more detail.
All right, very interesting. So Lapp has selected Arkansas center Frank Ragnow with the 21st overall pick. My pick in the first round is going to be Billy Price. I'll be interested to hear why you're going for Ragnow instead. I think he is a very polished college center. I don't think the pec injury that he suffered at the combine is going to be a problem. That is one of the most predictable recoveries of any injury that you can have. Guys usually come back fine and come back quickly. The Bengals expect him to. Big enough to handle the big nose tackles in the division, but better movement than Russell Bodine, for example. I think he compares to Ryan Kelly, who was picked in the first round a couple of years ago by Indianapolis. So I think the Bengals will go with Billy Price, the center out of Ohio State, with their first-round pick. And I did kind of a deep dive into center draft picks. I looked back at the last 20 NFL drafts just to see how predictable is it when you use a first-round draft pick on a center. And I found this to be very interesting. In the last 20 years, 12 centers have been picked in the first round. Mm-hmm. 8 of the 12 have gone to Pro Bowls. And that does not include Ryan Kelly, who's only played one season and then was hurt last year. Maybe he'll make it 9 out of 12 if he lives up to his potential. But first-round centers that have been picked in the last 20 years include Travis Frederick by Dallas, Mike Pouncey by Miami, Marquise Pouncey by Pittsburgh, Alex Mack and Eric Wood, who went to Pro Bowls. Damian Woody was a Pro Bowler taken in the first round. So Nick Mangold was a Pro Bowler taken in the first round. So I think, by and large, when you have a first-round grade on a center and you use it on that guy, he lives up to the billing. And I think whether the Bengals go with Ragnow or a Billy Price, if they elect to go with a center, I think it's likely to work out well for them. So those are the guys that we think the Bengals will pick in the first round.
And I agree with everything you said about Billy Price. And the other thing about Billy Price is – watching his technique, Dan, he was coached so well. His techniques are unbelievable. He's got a technique for everything. But Ragnow, a couple of names that come to mind watching him. Matt Burke, the kid that played a number of years in the NFL. Max Unger, another guy that has been successful. And really the first two centers the Bengals drafted were first-round guys, Bob Johnson and Blair Bush. And they both had extremely long careers, you know, in the National Football League. Paul Brown obviously believed, and I've told this story before, when I had to play center when Blair got hurt, you know, he said to me, look, two people touch the ball every snap, the center and the quarterback. Don't mess up any snaps. You know, I mean, it's vitally important. And then you have all the other responsibilities that go along with it. But before you block anybody, you got to make sure that the quarterback has the ball either when he's under center or in the shotgun formation. So, but when I look at Ragnow, he's bigger. You know, he's not, by dimensions, he's not that much bigger than Billy Price, but he just looks like he plays longer. He's got longer arms. Looks like he's just got more length to him and has not given up a sack in his entire career. Mm. When I started, I'm watching tape, and I'm like, this guy is an unbelievable pass protector. Look at the USC-Ohio State bowl game. Billy Price struggled. He had some issues in that football game. And I'm not going to base it on one game, but I'm watching Ragnow. And I'm like, he's not even giving up pressures. I mean, his pass protection is unbelievable. And I'm like, so I read a little bit more. He'd not given up a sack his entire career. That's pretty impressive. We're talking SEC, you know, and to not have him given up a sack at all. And, you know, you look at him, he's a 3-year starter, a captain, you know, Billy Price, 4-year starter, captain. I mean, but Ragnow is bigger. He ran a 4.98. He's bigger, potentially faster. Had a higher test score, maybe you know. But now I can nitpick things in their game, but when I watch Ragnow, sometimes, Dan, I'm like, there's no way he's going to make that block. He's so far out of position. athletically, he finds a way to get himself back in perfect position to make the block. And I'm like, and it's just that, you know, he's a little bit in other, in a lot of areas, just a little bit bigger, faster. In the AFC North, to me, that says something. With the big bodies that you have to block, a bigger center. And again, it is very, very slight. Pro Football Focus, though, has him way ahead of all, when they graded all the games. And, you know, that's a tool. That's one tool. But you got to watch the tape yourself, and you don't know exactly what they've been asked to do. But to me, either one of those guys would be great. But I'm just I feel a little bit more toward Ragnow in terms of the tape that I saw.
All right. So both of us think that the Bengals will select a center with their first round pick, 21st overall. Let's move to our second category, and that would be the guy that we would pick if we had the selection. Who would be your pick?
Well, if Mike McGlinchey is there, I would take him. You know, Santa Claus on steroids draft for me would be Mike McGlinchey is somehow there at 21 because, you know, when you're talking at 21 to get the number one tackle on most people in most people's opinion in the draft, and you can get him at 21 with the value of the tackle position, I would have to take him. I don't think he's going to be there. But if he is for some reason, you know, here's a guy, Dan, that was a three-year starter and a two-year captain. When you're a two-year captain and you have an alpha dog like Nelson, Nelson is going to be a top five pick in the draft. Nelson's the best offensive lineman in the draft on the board. McGlinchey's the two-time captain. Tells me all I need to know about the guy's intangibles. You know, I mean, I think he'd have a huge presence. He'd be a wit type guy in the locker room and a presence with his teammates. You know, on top of the fact that, you know, he's a blue collar guy. He really works hard. You know, he's the one thing I've seen is sometimes because of his height, you know, he doesn't play with a low enough pad level and guys will get him in the chest and bull rush him a little bit. And that's going to happen in the National Football League if, in fact, he gets sloppy with his technique. But he is a great technician. His feet, his hands are always inside. I mean, he's blue collar. I like so much about him. If he slid, I don't see how they could pass up on McGlinchey. But I don't think he's going to slide. And therefore, I would take if I take McGlinchey in that first round. Now the decision is, do you go defense? Because, you know, the defense might need even more help than the offense. The offensive line, but other positions, they're in pretty good shape for this draft. You know, do you start addressing defensive positions in this second round, or do you go, my Santa Claus on steroids is McGlinchey if he's there, and either make sure you get a center by either moving up a little bit if somebody will allow you to trade up, or if one of them falls, I'd be fine with Daniels at 46. All day, every day. McGlinchey and Daniels, a Notre Dame guy and an Iowa guy in the offensive line, both played pro-style offenses. I'd be good with that. That would be my Merry Christmas draft. Hmm.
I looked at 25 mock drafts today. McGlinchey was still there for the 21st pick about one-third of the time. So not likely, but not wildly far-fetched. So that might come true for you. The guy I would pick, and I think we'll be there, would be linebacker Rashawn Evans from Alabama. I think he's big and physical. He kind of fits the classic Bengals linebacker profile. Could play in the middle, could play Vontaze Burfict's spot. And let's face it, right now they got Preston Brown signed to a one-year contract. Vontaze is signed, but, you know, again, he's going to miss the start of the season after failing a drug test. He's had some injury issues. Obviously, there have been some issues with things that have happened on the field that have cost him games. So I think you're protecting yourself for either of those guys, and you're getting in a great player. And one thing about Rashawn Evans in comparison to some other Alabama players that have been first-round picks in recent years, there's not that much tread on the tires. He didn't start until his final year because of the great linebackers they've had there. So he doesn't have a bunch of injuries. He's not a guy that comes in and you wonder, well, how many years are we going to get of this guy? I think he would be a long-term player, could play right off the bat, would certainly contribute on special teams right off the bat. And the other thing that makes me want to take Rashawn Evans is that I think you'd be taking the guy that the Steelers are hoping is still there. Obviously, with Ryan Shazier's situation, they probably got to draft a linebacker. If not in the first round, in the second round, I think he would be a great Steeler. So kind of like when they took Will Jackson a few years ago, you take the guy that the Steelers want and also help your team. And one final thought for why I would take him and not address the center position with the 21st pick. Again, I look back at the last 20 drafts, looking specifically at centers. You've got three this year that you've talked about that all have first-round grades. There has not been a draft in the last 20 years where three centers were gone before the 46th pick. The closest scenario is 2009, when Alex Mack went 21st, Eric Wood went 28th, and Max Unger, whom you referenced earlier, went 49th. All three of those guys have been to Pro Bowls. So that's the only year where it was even close for the top three centers in the draft going in the top 46 picks. Bengals would have the 46th pick in the second round this year. Typically, the third center picked in the draft, by average, over the last 20 years, has gone with the 107th pick. So you only need one starting center. Centers are often looked at by NFL teams as a position where we can always get a center in the second, third, fourth round, whatever. Bodine was a fourth round pick and started right off the bat. So I think one of those three guys is likely to be there with a 46th pick. Maybe the Bengals would rather have Ragnow. Maybe they'd rather have Daniels. I don't know what their order is. But if they think that all three of those guys are good enough to be in the first round, I suspect one will still be there with the 46th pick.
Yeah, could very well be. You know, I do think that in this draft, from 20 to 40, maybe even 10 to 40, interior offensive linemen are going to be at a premium. And I don't know where teams have these centers, you know, on their board. But, you know, you hear Will Hernandez's name being bandied about. You know, there are interior offensive linemen that are they going to go at the end of the first round? Are they 1C players? Are they 2A players? The only thing about Evans, and I love him. I love him as a football player. He's not real big, and he runs 4.7, 4.75. But I agree with looking at him on tape, he plays faster than he times because he's instinctive. You know, he's got tremendous football, see it before it happens kind of thing. Sometimes guys play faster than their time. I would rather have that guy. You know, if a guy – I mean, it's like, you know, when you watch the tape of Evans, and then when he runs at the combine or at his pro day, it's like, wow, you know, that would have been a flag if he didn't play like he plays. Because, you know, if you're 250 and you run 4.7, 4.75, but he's nowhere near that big a guy – but boy, he is productive, and he is a football player, you know, in every sense of the word. So I think maybe some of the, you know, the draft nicks or whatever that look at numbers, look at instead of looking at tape, might look at some of his numbers and say, you know, I don't know. So he may be there. He may be there at 21. That'd be a great pick. There's no question. You know, we hit on guys, you know, say McGlinchey does slide or Evans slides. We hit on guys that they've already addressed. One by free agency and one by trade, the ex-Buffalo Bills. You know, so it's good. You know, you look at the five linebackers that the Bengals that Jim Haslett has to work with. You know, you get Preston Brown, you get Vontez Burfict, but he's suspended for the first four games. You have Nick Vigil, you have Jordan Evans, and you have Vinnie Ray. That's five spots. You know, five of the linebackers right there. But like you said, Vontez Burfict being suspended for four games, you know, it's going to be a little bit of an issue. Yeah, to me, I would not have a major issue with any of that. But if McGlinchey is there as well as a guy that you could plug in, you know, at the right tackle position for probably a decade, I think all the guys we're talking about, I mean, particularly the offensive linemen we're talking about, are all day one starters potentially. You know, and you'd have to figure Evans, you know, would fit into that category as well. Particularly with Vontez Burfict out, he could be a day one starter for the first four games of the season. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I can see why you would pull the trigger on that sort of a pick. And that's in my mind, that is a really good reason why the Bengals go from 12 to 21. It opens up so many opportunities and lanes and doorways, and you didn't lose any currency. You know, you shifted it a little bit, maybe you you changed to 20 and you got a 10 and 5 and 5 ones and gave a couple ones away or something, but you still have a lot of draft currency, and that gives you a lot of flexibility. And with that 21st position in the first round, gives you flexibility as well.
And you got a left tackle that's better than anybody in this draft.
Exactly. I mean, that's proven it. You know, and it's, and the injuries coming off of is not a structural thing. He had a bone spur removed. I mean, he's going to come back from that fine. You know, and I agree with you about Billy Price with the pectoral. I would not ding Billy Price for the pec and downgrade him in my draft. I've got him right there. He's deserving of the 21st pick in the draft. I think if he had torn a ligament or some sort of attachment or something, that's one thing. But if you're in the belly of the pec, and he didn't have to have surgery, but I'm thinking he did, which could expedite it as well, the healing process. But I think maybe a lot of the Bengal fans would be like, oh, we're drafting another guy in the first round that's injured? You know, I mean, people say he'll be fine by June, but that's by June. What if he's not? Mm. What if he misses the early part of training camp? The fan base is going to be like, what? We got another first-round pick that, you know, isn't even going to play because of injury early on here? But I don't think that's the case. I'm with you, and I think medically, I think – just about everybody believes that he's going to be fine. And you can't worry about a couple of months. You have to worry about 4 years, you know, 5 years, 10 years, because that's the kind of guy these guys can be.
Third and final category, best case scenario. So this is a guy that we just don't think is going to be there at number 21. But let's say six quarterbacks get picked in the top 20. That pushes a great player down to where the Bengals would love to see him, but they probably won't. Who would be that guy on your board?
Derwin James. If Derwin James slides, and I can't fathom it, because he's one of the top two safeties in the draft. Now, honestly, a lot of people that I talk to, they're not sure that he might be the best safety in the draft, because Minka Fitzpatrick, they're not sure he's a safety. You know, and I think he's a slot guy. And he wants to play corner. But Derwin James is a safety, and he's a good one. 6'1 and a half, 215. You know, 4.45 guy. He's long. He can cover deep half. He can match up inside on receivers and running backs. Very fluid, excellent range. You know, he's real good laterally. I like a lot of things about it. He missed most of 2016 with a knee injury, but came back and played exceptionally well. I mean, kid from Florida State. And the thing is, there's such a big gap in my estimation and a lot of people's estimation that I talk to between the number two and three safety in the draft. You know, I think the draft's going to be very unusual in that it's not top heavy, it's mid heavy, particularly in the first round. I mean, you know, I think there's going to be a little bit of a lull in the first round. I think it's that way, and then in the second round, about where the Bengals are, there's going to be a little bit of a lull in terms of guys that are really worthy of those picks, and then it picks up again in the third round. It wouldn't shock me if they don't feel that there's a guy in the second round that's worthy of their 46th pick, trade down. And don't trade down for necessarily additional picks this year. What about next year? Trade down for an additional.
Better next year. Yeah. You've already got 11 this year.
Exactly. And you know, that's the other thing, Dan. Everybody's like, you know, 11 picks. Man, they're all not going to make the team. Or if they did trade down, 12 picks, they're not all going to make the team. No, I don't want them all to make the team. But I want to double down. If you have a weakness, I don't have a problem with them drafting another safety at some – two safeties, you know, two linemen, whether it's another center or whatever it is, two safeties, two linemen, you know – two linebackers, two interior defensive linemen, double down. Because then you increase your chances of hitting on somebody by twice the amount. I mean, that's done by teams all over the place. And if you got that much currency, you know, don't be satisfied with taking one. Take a second one. You've got a lot of picks that you can do that with, and I think the Bengals might do that. I mean, you could double down on five positions and still have a pick left. You know, and how many needs do you have? I mean, say you two offensive linemen, two safeties, two corners. You can always never have enough corners. Two linebackers, two interior defensive linemen, and you're not even done with all your picks yet. Nothing wrong with doubling down. Vegas loves it.
All right. So your dream scenario pick is Derwin James. outstanding safety. Again, I looked at 25 mock drafts earlier today. He was still there on 2 out of 25.
Really?
So it is possible.
Right.
Highly unlikely,
right,
but it is possible. All right, time for my best case scenario. He probably won't be there, but if he is, I'm taking him. Are you ready?
Yes.
Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback in this draft. He's the guy I'm hoping the Cleveland Browns don't take, because if they do, I think they turn the corner quickly. I hope they take Josh Allen, which is the guy that most of the prognosticators seem to think they're going to take. He might be great. He's certainly got the physical ability to be great. But that low completion percentage, the fact that he played in that league, the fact that he's not polished yet, I want them to take a guy that still needs a lot of work. Baker Mayfield, to me, is the closest thing to a sure thing. Obviously, a lot of people disagree with that, but I think whatever team winds up taking him before the 21st pick, because, yeah, he'll be gone before the Bengals are on the clock. But whatever team takes him, they're going to have their quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years.
And Dan, I've seen him firsthand at Oklahoma, met the kid. He is a natural-born leader. I mean, every single teammate, offense, defense, gravitate toward him. He's one of those kind of guys that's like, you hate him if he's not on your team, and if he's on your team, you absolutely love him. You can say that about Pete Rose. So many great players, the ones that exude all that confidence. And Baker Mayfield bet on himself multiple times. Walked on at Texas Tech. Everybody overlooked him. Played at Texas Tech. Felt like he was being a little bit mistreated. They threw the starting position open again. He'd always wanted to play at Oklahoma. Bob Stoops told me the story that he's in his office one day just, you know, working on some things, knock on the door. He looks up, and, you know, he didn't really know Baker Mayfield. He knew the name, obviously, but didn't know him by, you know, face and recognition of body and everything. And I said, Coach Baker Mayfield, I've already transferred all my credits and everything to Oklahoma. I'm in school. I want to try out for the team. And Stoops looks at me and goes, sure, you can try out for the team. I mean, 2 weeks later, I mean, Stoops is like, this is unbelievable. You kill yourself doing all this recruiting and everything, and here's Baker Mayfield knocking on your door. And so he proved himself at Texas Tech, starts all over at Oklahoma, proves himself again, wins a Heisman, wins a ton of games. I mean, the guy has got some magic. There's no question about it. I think John Elway, who I respect, opinion on quarterbacks, I think he'd love to have Baker Mayfield in Denver. It would not stun me. I think it would probably stun a lot of the football world. Wouldn't stun me if Hugh Jackson took Baker Mayfield. We know what Hugh Jackson's about, personally.
But Hugh won't get to make the pick. It'll be Dorsey.
It'll be Dorsey, but I think he'll talk to Hugh, as you know, your experience around quarterbacks. You know, and Dorsey made a controversial, not controversial, but a trade that people like, what are you making that trade for? You know, and to get his quarterback, who's now the starting quarterback at Kansas City, who's a former Texas Tech guy, you know, himself. I mean, it would not shock me if a football guy like John Dorsey who got a ringing endorsement from a guy like Hugh Jackson. I think the personality of Baker Mayfield and Hugh Jackson would be an unbelievable cocktail. I really do. I think those guys would feed off each other. Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. And when I look at it, I hope they take Josh Allen too up. They say, oh, man, the weather up here, so got to get the guy with the big hand. And, hey, you know what? If I'm blocking for a guy that plays quarterback, I want one that throws the ball straight. I want one that, you know, can put it where it needs to be put to make completions and move the football, you know, move the chains.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield's the most accurate guy, you know, in the draft. Sam Darnold's probably the safest. He might be the safest pick, but his hands supposedly aren't that big. And, you know, you get all the analytics on that, you know, hand size, all the weather up there. All I can tell you is I played with Brian Sipe with the New Jersey Generals. Brian Sipe's a little guy, and he didn't have very big hands. And he played quarterback exceptionally well up in Cleveland in adverse climate conditions. It's all about what's the guy's makeup. What's inside the guy? And I think Baker Mayfield has more of those intangibles that – and he's proven it. He's proven it a couple of times. I know he's talked to GMs around the league when he did interviews, and they're talking about, you know, when you come here, you might have to back up. No, where I go, I'm going to be the face. I'm going to be the face of the franchise. I was the face of Oklahoma football. I'm going to be the face of your franchise. I mean, that kind of stuns you a little bit, but it's like, man, then you love it, you know? You love the self-confidence of the guy. Yeah, it's funny. He's probably – he might be the biggest lightning rod. People either love him or hate him. There's not a lot of gray area with Baker Mayfield. Either you're on board or you got off at the stop before.
Well, he is my dream scenario guy at number 21. Again, highly unlikely to happen, but it's the draft. You never know. Lap, this was fun. I need to study up on Frank Ragnow to be prepared for Thursday night. Looking forward to Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and finding out the 11 newest members of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of new blood within the organization for sure. And, you know, we've talked about it, Dan, is the currency, 11 picks in the draft, and how, things may – calm down a little bit toward the mid to end of the second round, then jack back up from the third to the fifth. And when the Bengals have two-thirds, a fourth, and two-fifths. So, you know, you look at it and you say, all right, well, geez, do they trade up in the second round to get the center? Then you're giving away one of your thirds, that late third. You know, maybe your fourth, but it's more like your late third. That's a good football player you're potentially giving up there. You might be able to get a decent center in that with that pick. So why – I don't know. I mean, I think that in this draft, the phones are going to ring. There's no question. The Bengals are probably going to make some calls and people are making calls to the Bengals. But it wouldn't shock me if they stayed and made all of their 11 selections, including those three seventh-rounders we talked about, for the reason that we talked about in the past is that – instead of having to compete for college free agents, you've got three of them in that category. You can pluck the three top guys you have in your CFA board as the seventh round comes to a close. Boom, boom, boom. Draft them. Don't have to worry about competing.
That's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play and give it a rating or leave a comment. Your feedback has been great, and 5-star ratings help more Bengals fans find this podcast. I'm Dan Hoard, and thank you for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.